Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your precious presence in this place. We thank you for the ways in which you are moving among us, within us, round about us, through us. Thank you for the continued touch of your hand upon us. We thank you for the ways in which you continue to support and sustain and strengthen us. You are mighty and majestic and magnificent God. There is no other. Continue to thank you for who you are and what you are, and all that you have done and continue to do in our hearts and our lives, including in this very day. We certainly say yea and amen to every petition that's been made this morning, every praise that's gone up this morning. We continue to thank you again and again and again that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us, and to be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Help us, Lord, to have eyes that would see and ears that would hear, to not only know, but to do what it is that you've called us to do in our homes, in our church, in our community, wherever we may be, as your hands and your feet, in whatever place we may go, whatever place we may be, that Christ in us, the hope of glory, would shine forth, that others would be reached and touched and blessed, that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would be praised. We can't say thank you enough, Lord. We can't say thank you enough, but we'll continue to try. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. What a glorious day. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I think I heard one amen. I'd like to hear more. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. And Dave and Lois, you've been welcomed back. It's nice that you're here with us this morning. It's good to see other people who've not been here, or at least have missed on occasion here and there. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. When he was up here speaking and sharing and praying, I thought he was doing such a good job, I just wanted to stay back there in my seat and let him just continue on. The title, as you know, excuse me, from the bulletin for the sermon this morning is My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer, and we find reference to that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I chose Matthew 21:13, and the title is a direct quote from that. And he said to them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And we go into Mark. Then he taught, referring to Jesus, saying to them, "Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves?" And then we get into Luke 19:46, and there's reference to Jesus teaching and saying to them, "It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And I found in the Bible that I was using, and I'm working with the New King James again today, a couple of references from the Old Testament, Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11. And I thought about other possible titles, as I typically do, And one of the other possibilities, or even a subtitle, we are called to be a house of prayer. Another one is, are we called to be a house of prayer? Another one is, we are to be a house of prayer. Another one is, are we a house of prayer? And that's a question that Dave was really raising this morning in his portion of the service. We really need to really consider that and to look at it closely, because we are called to be a house of prayer. It's not really a question, are we called, but we are called. And so then the question becomes, are we answering the call to be a house of prayer? And I know that this church has people in it, and not necessarily everybody present today, because you know we have some other folks who might be here, but for whatever reason they're not. But folks connected with the church, we have a number of praying people. But we need to be careful, and we need to be concerned, as with so many other things, to not do things by rote or vain repetition, to not just toss something up there, like we're sometimes in the habit of doing. Lord's Prayer, Disciples' Prayer, the Our Father, comes to mind, where I think that happens all too often with people individually and in churches. We memorize it early on, and we learn it. We don't even have to think about it, and we just open our mouth, and the words roll out, and then in for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, amen, and we move right on. There's not only a whole sermon, but a whole series of sermons in that, so we're not going to go any further with it today. This church, as I have come to understand it, in its 96-year history, has had a number of years, over the years, I think with some spacing at times, of being a house of prayer. But right now, I think that as a corporate body, as a congregation, as a church family, as a spiritual church family, congregation, called together, brought together by God, that we're falling short in the corporate prayer department, which is why it's being talked about today. It's why Dave spoke about it earlier. The revival that's needed in this church, and I've said it to you before, prayer is the key to that revival. Prayer is the key to whatever we are going to do as a church, as a congregation, as a corporate entity, as a spiritual family, as part of the larger family of God. And without that, or with it being limited or restricted in whatever way or ways that it might be, we're not going to get to where we're going. Dave mentioned again this morning the vision for the church. The vision for the church was cast on August 2nd, right here from this pulpit. And I happened to be occupying the pulpit that day, but it wasn't my vision. That's the vision of the Lord, from the Lord, through me, for this church, for this congregation, for this spiritual family. And we can choose to embrace that or not. And as we know, part of that is to become and to be a lighthouse to the community, and not just the Alden community, but way and well beyond this local community. Not because I say so, but because that's a part of what the Lord is calling us to do. It's part of what the Lord would have to be done and to be accomplished through this church. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And he said to them, then he taught, saying to them, Jesus saying to them. So each of these quotations is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was important enough that it was included in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. So when I find something in Scripture more than once, that gets a little more of my attention. And when I see it 3 or 4 times, Or, as in the case of the Great Commission that we've spoken about briefly here before, five times, all four Gospels plus the book of Acts, that's for a reason. It's not that he's forgetting what he's saying, but because what he's saying is so important and so significant that he really, really, really wants to get our attention and to jog us, to urge us, to give us a little nudge, sometimes to give us a bit of a push, to see that and to respond. And I've commented from the pulpit before, I'll do it now and I'll do it again in the future, that we are to not only hear the word, but we are to heed the word of the Lord. And it can be a wonderful, marvelous word coming forth. It doesn't matter who the preacher is up here. The message, as long as it's coming from the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's coming through. What good is it? What value does it have if we don't do anything with it? If we don't heed the word that we're hearing and put it into practice. The principles that are provided through Scripture, if we don't apply them, if we don't put them into practice, then what good are they? What use are they? What value do they have? What good are they doing us? What good are they doing the larger community? And again, I would say and suggest and remind you, we have a nice group here this morning. It's always good to see you. But I'm waiting for the day that I stand here in this pulpit and I see all of these pews occupied again. And that's not as far-fetched as it may seem. And it's not some fantasy, you know, dreamed up somewhere in the middle of the night. That's a part of what the Lord would have for this church. But again, I say to you, they're not knocking the doors down to come in and be here with us on Sunday morning. In my Bible, at least the versions, the translations that I read, I can't find yet where it says, sit in church and wait for the people, for they will come. You didn't find it either? Okay. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, we are to go. We are to go out where they are. For the fields are white for harvest. They're ripe for harvest. I heard a song yesterday for the first time. The harvest is almost here. The harvest is almost here. It was at a over 2.5 hour long funeral service. And as I listened, I was talking to the Lord and asking, are you changing the sermon around again? Are you looking for something else to be presented this morning? He said, no, it's for another time. The one for today is my house shall be called a house of prayer. And it's part of the preparation of the church for getting out there where the harvest is and doing the work to which we are called. It's not for the pastor, it's not for the preacher, it's not for the missionary, it's not for the evangelist, it's not for other people who maybe have nice titles in a church or in a denomination. It's for each and every one of us who may be rightfully called Christian, that we are a born-again believer, saved and sanctified because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Scripture tells us, do you not know that you were bought and paid for with a price? You were bought and paid for with a price. I was bought and paid for with a price. You are, I am, the temple, a temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Anointed and appointed, called and ordained to go forth, to go forward, to go out, to be found not just occupying, but continuing to take ground. Continuing to take land when the Lord might return. And unless you've been living under a rock, you have to know that we really are now in the last days and that the time truly is short. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are people by the tens and the hundreds and the thousands who are going to hell day after day after day. Those fields that are white for harvest are wilting and dying because of not being taken up, not being harvested. And so we have folks going where they might otherwise not go. But for the grace of God in my life at different times and different ways through different people, I'm able to stand here before you this morning. I was on my way to hell, as each of us was, until we accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, until we asked and accepted him into our hearts and into our lives, until we allowed him to begin to do what it was that he had called us to do. Nate was really referring to, just before I got up here, Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 11 through 14a. But I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, not for evil but for good, to give you a hope and a future. And then it goes on and it talks about calling to him and reaching out to him, and that he will be found by us when we search for him, when we seek him with all of our hearts, not half-heartedly or double-mindedly, but with all of our hearts. I will be found by you, says the Lord. How magnificent. How magnificent. I sit sometimes in my study at home in the middle of the night in wonder and in awe as I think about, as I meditate upon, as I contemplate these words. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Wow. Wow. You can't see it, but inside my spirit's just jumping hearing these words that are coming forward. And this is for each and every one of us, each and every one of us. And so one of the things that I want to see, and the elders and I have talked about it, and we're in agreement, that we want to see, is this church body again engaging in corporate prayer on a regular, consistent basis, meaning Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 20 minutes, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And not with people sending up prayer requests or saying, please pray for so-and-so, for such-and-such, but with each of us who has a burden on our heart, who has a request, to hear in the corporate body, in the presence of others who are in support, in prayer support, to lift it to the heavenlies, to present it to God. For this church, for revival, for the leadership, for the Schmidt family, for all kinds of people, all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances. But looking down the road, because a lot of the individual things, personal things, we can take care of in our private prayer time, but can still present here. But here, as a corporate body, looking at the larger picture, that vision, that mission of and for this church, and what it is that the Lord would have of us and for us and through us. And to stick with it time after time after time. There's 168 hours in every week. 168 hours. Did I mention there's 168 hours in every week? How much of that time are we devoting to prayer? How much of that time are we devoting to prayer? For some people, an hour in church or an hour and a half is a big push. And they get uncomfortable. And they're watching the clock because they want to get out of here. Or they want to get out of that church or the church over there or down the street and around the corner. They came, they did their duty. They're supposed to go to church, so they went to church. Now it's time. Have the bills playing today?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't a question. It was a statement. We have the bills playing today. So some people in some places, that would have impact. He supplies us. He provides time and talent and treasure. Time and talent and treasure. For some of us, it's a hassle to tithe our treasure. Limiting that, and our treasure is much larger than just dollars and cents. But the Bible's real clear, real clear. That people are called to tithe, and you get folks saying, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, Jesus talked about giving. He talked about it from a frame of reference of the Old Testament. And regardless, I mean, a tithe is 10%. 10%. It's all his. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's all his. He's only asking for 10% back. And then some offerings on top of that would be nice. But do we tithe our time? What kind of time do we directly, specifically give to him, prayer-wise and even otherwise? 168 hours in every week. And every day, 24, so that would be 2.4 hours would be tithe. Are you kidding me? I have people to see, places to go, things to do. But there's ways to do that. We can truly pray our way through a day. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now that either means in the future down the road shall be called a house of prayer. It also can mean because it is, then therefore it shall be called a house of prayer. Mark added that additional three words, for all nations, which in my mind is always reminding me of the Great Commission. It's not just a house of prayer for the local body, for the local community, for the regional area, but way and well beyond, for the whole world. And also, in Matthew and in Luke, the Lord said, it is written, it is written. In Mark, it's stated a little bit differently. It's stated in the form of a question, but it's a rhetorical question, so the answer is in there. Is it not called a house of prayer? Well, yeah, it is called, shall be called, is to be called a house of prayer. So it's saying the same thing, just in a little different way. Then we come into Luke, and not saying my house shall be called, like in Matthew and in Mark, but my house is called a house of prayer. And I would like to see us be able, once again, to say that this is called the Old Mennonite Church, the Old Christian Church. This is called a house of prayer. Why? Not because pastor says so. Not even because it's written in these pages. But because it is. Because we have once again become a praying people, a praying church, a praying congregation in the corporate, congregational, spirit, family sense of that word. My house shall be called a house of prayer, saith the Lord. Are we called to be a house of prayer? Yes, we are called to be a house of prayer. We are to be one. Are we one? I would like to say yes. I think no, and I'm not throwing stones. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not putting anybody down, not putting the church down. Simply saying, as I see it, as I understand it, yes, there has been a time in the past that this legitimately was a house of prayer. And the call simply is to once again become a house of prayer. That is so critical. I struggle for enough words in quality, if not in quantity, to tell you this, to say it, to get the point across. As we go down the road together into the future to fulfill the vision that's been cast by the Lord for this church, to accomplish the mission to which the church has been called by the Lord. And remember, prayer and revival and outreach, three of the key elements, with prayer being the first. But revival, we need renewal, we need regeneration, we need revival, some of us individually, certainly as a corporate body. And that hasn't happened yet. It simply hasn't happened. And again, I'm not casting aspersions, not throwing stones, not being critical, not accusing, not attacking, none of that negative kind of stuff. It is what it is. We are what we are, we aren't what we aren't. We're here, we're hoping to get there. How are we going to get there? Well, prayer is a key way. We're going to move from point A to point B together as a church family. There are more sermons, Dave suggested this morning, that are coming down the road. Not necessarily every time, but in the near future about prayer. And I'll be talking not only about corporate prayer as today, but individual prayer and our prayer lives. And what is our prayer life like? What's the status of it? What's the quality? As Dave was saying and suggesting this morning, are legitimate questions. And it ought not to take somebody standing up here and asking that question, but we ought to be on our own, sitting silently, in listening prayer before the Lord to hear what he might have to say to us. And sometimes we go before him and we're kind of quick and we have our wish list and we toss it up there and say, thanks, Lord, see you later. Not wrong to present those things, but maybe the way of it, the how of it might be modified or adjusted a little bit. Maybe we might approach him first in adoration and worship and praise and thanksgiving. And then in some respects, almost, oh, by the way, I have a couple of things in mind that I wanted to mention, a need for this and a desire for that, and you go ahead and lay it out there. And then move on from there. Psalm 55:17 will be an element in one of the near future prayers. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud. Those of you who may be familiar with that verse know that I haven't given it all. The kicker is, and the part that it's just so great to grab onto, six more words. And he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And there we are again. Mighty, majestic, and magnificent God, King of kings, Lord of lords, maker, maintainer, creator of all creation. And he shall hear my voice. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart. You can there on your knees, on your face, on your back, on your side, sitting down, standing up, walking, standing still. Meet with, be with that very person who's there simply waiting for you to reach out, for you to approach. For you to say, hey God, it's me. You have a minute? Would you like to hang out today? Can I hang out with you for a while? The answer will always, 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 and I stay away from the absolutes usually, the always and the nevers, but that prayer in any of those, in those forms, always, always, always will be answered. He's not going to turn away from you. We turn away from him, but he's not going to turn away from us. And he shall hear my voice. And as a hint, a preview of coming attractions, in Daniel 6:10, it's when stuff had been going on with the king and people in the king's court were trying to sabotage Daniel and his work and his standing with the king, with the ruler, where scripture tells us that Daniel went home, and as was his custom, as he did on a regular, routine, consistent basis, he was in prayer, windows wide open, facing the east, facing toward Jerusalem, three times a day. Evening and morning and at noon. I will pray and cry aloud and hear his voice. And there's the psalmist, many, many years apart from the time of Daniel. So, some food for thought. Lord, thank you for the food for thought. Thank you for all the food that you've provided here this morning for us. And I do pray, continue to pray, that you have been blessed, honored, and glorified this morning in all that we have said, all that we have done. Pray that as we leave here this morning, I was going to say that you'll be with us, but I know that you'll be with us because you said you will be. So continuing to thank you for that and asking that we be reminded in an ongoing way of your precious presence with us. And that whole footprints business, when those weren't our footprints, but they were yours when you were carrying us in times of test, of trial, of tribulation. We do love you, Lord, and we know that we're able to do that only because you first loved us, and we thank you for having called us to yourself and having done so with an everlasting love. Certainly unworthy and undeserving, unmerited, but because of your mercy and your grace and the abundance of your love, ye choose these things anyway. And we are truly eternally grateful, not only this day, Lord, but each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.